Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 23rd of November. Joining us this morning is Jen Capps from Humboldt State. Good morning.
Good morning. Grateful to be here.
See, it wasn't that tough. First question. You're going to get two questions. First question.
Okay.
Ham or turkey?
Turkey. Definitely turkey.
All right. Are you ready for our question of the day?
Love it. Ready?
Really?
Sure.
Okay. Why does eating spicy food sometimes make people perspire?
Wow.
See, everybody misses their question, so you're just part of the gang.
Okay. All right. I love spicy food, though. I'm all about
it. Oh, are you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about it. The spicier, the better.
You're the one that buys the hot salsa? Instead of the mild?
Absolutely.
I don't even go to that end of the counter in case something could break and land on me.
No, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's code. I mean, like with Thai food and stuff, you know, there's spicy and then there's Thai hot, right? You have to ask for it by name.
Yeah, and then you get into the ghost peppers.
Oh, yeah. Now, that might be a little too hot for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you're going to say,
Around the perspiring thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spicy foods such as chili peppers contain a chemical that stimulates the same nerve endings in the mouth as does a rise in temperature. These nerves, not knowing the difference, send a message to the brain telling it that the temperature near the face has risen. The brain reacts by activating cooling mechanisms to reduce the temperature around the face, and one of those mechanisms is perspiration.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. So I wonder if somebody has an injury and that nerve gets impacted, they become super sensitive or like bring it on, I don't care, scorched earth, and I'll eat it.
Yeah, could be. It could be.
So your background isn't in biology or anatomy and physiology then, huh?
Clearly not, right?
Yeah, I didn't go to that side of campus
No,
either.
You didn't. No, you didn't. Psychology and criminology.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Well, and Humboldt's a good fit for you.
There you go.
Yeah, Humboldt County, not Humboldt State.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
So what in the world is a provost?
Fair question. So usually I have to deconstruct what the heck that means. It's a fancy name that just means that I oversee the academics. I don't know.
Oh, your curriculum?
Yeah, and the faculty and all the academic programs that we offer.
Do you have to deal with the labor units and that stuff, or is that handled elsewhere?
No, I deal with that too. You bet. I get all the fun stuff.
Joy.
Yeah. It's great.
And hopefully your office is on the first floor, so when you leap out of the window, you just kind of take a step?
Not quite. I have a little distance between myself and the ground, that's for sure.
I see. Yep. Well, then we know what building you're in.
You bet. Yeah. There you go.
So who's Jen?
Who's Jen? Jen is somebody that is super excited to have moved to Humboldt County. I was really attracted to the area, the water, the forest, the school. But I spent a lot of time in my life working with kids and working in higher ed and working in programming to kind of help kids to be successful.
Kids student, kids elementary, kids high school?
All of the above.
Kids 60?
Of course. It's a loose definition, that's
yes,
for
it
sure.
Is.
It's a loose definition, but little kids, bigger kids, that sort of thing. So trying to help kids to be successful, sometimes when there's barriers in place for them, and then working in higher education is a way to escalate that impact, I think. So.
Well, and having criminal justice in there, too, is kind of...
Yeah.
I mean... I wouldn't think in an academic arena would be where you would have ended up. I would say maybe like running DHHS.
Yeah.
Or, maybe you've got a badge and a lot of stripes on the collar or maybe a star.
So I've done
kind of in that arena.
Well, I've done all of those things. So I've worked in a prison. I've worked in a hospital. I've worked in a school. I've worked in a mental health center. I've worked in a court. So all of those things.
And they
things.
All come into play at Humboldt State.
You said it.
Yeah, but you're smiling.
Yeah. But it's like the intersection of all those things, which I find fascinating. It's hard because you can imagine that different groups like that don't always get along very well or see things a little bit differently. And for me, it's kind of interesting to figure out how people can work together.
Well, those different facets of the diamond, certainly you've seen and experienced an awful lot of stuff. So the surprise factor.
Mm-hmm.
probably isn't as much as it would be if somebody just ran the academic tree.
That is true. That is true. Yes, that is very true. When it, working in higher education is a little bit more mellow, and I can say I've worked in a prison and a hospital and those
types you're not having to duck bullets or anything like that.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
nothing too tough then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Par for the course.
Now, did you come in with the new administration, or are you a holdover from the previous?
So the president is a couple of years in, and so there was a team that's in place, and I was one of the last members of kind of the new team, if that makes sense. So a newer team in the addition to that newer team. Yeah.
When you look at Humboldt, not Polytech Humboldt,
mm-hmm.
when you look at Humboldt, just regular old lumberjacks Humboldt,
mm-hmm.
what did you see that really got your attention, that said this might be something?
Untapped potential and excellence. So to me, when I was looking at this school, it was interesting to me how HSU marketed it itself and told the community who they were. But then,
what was that?
Well, I think it was a lot about small liberal arts college, which is fine, but it didn't do as much, in my opinion, to really say how amazing some of the science programming, excellence of place.
More shotgun than rifle?
In the message? Yeah. I guess so. The diversity of the community, like those types of things. So it was a little bit of a mixed message. And we're not as a small liberal arts college anymore. There's lots of cool liberal arts stuff, too, but more of that comprehensive approach. So we were not telling our whole story, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. Yeah.
Selling yourself short.
Yeah, exactly. And so taking all the cool things and being able to package it together in a way that prospective students in the community could understand. Yeah.
Two separate targets, similar message, or at least a common message between
the
two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, things have changed in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
As an example. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Next time on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt State. When you saw Humboldt, let's say diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you physically saw Humboldt and you came here for your first visit.
Uh-huh.
Was it shock and awe? Was it, oh boy, look at all this potential? Was it, oh boy, do we have a lot of work to do?
Oh.
Where were you on that continuum with the school itself, but also the community in which it's kind of been dropped into or has grown up around it?
Oh, I think all of the above. I think absolute excitement, exhilaration. This place is beautiful. There's amazing, amazing faculty and staff. So much excellence. And how do we make sure that the world knows about this excellence? And a ton of work to do because there's, opportunities to kind of move forward and better connect with workforce and prospective students, where we're missing the boat a little bit.
So with the advancing into being a polytech,
mm-hmm.
okay, when I think of SLO,
uh-huh.
okay, it's one thing, Poly Pomona, whole different imagery.
Okay.
What do you want Humboldt to look to? What image? Not necessarily the brand or, the marketing, but just the impression. What do you? Is it going to be solar panels? Is that going to be the cutting edge? The new energy stuff? Is it going to be something entirely different that perhaps most of us aren't even thinking about?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think SLO and Pomona are amazing polytechnics, and we don't want to be the identical polytechnic, but leverage the strengths that we have. And so a lot of the stuff that we have really good strength around are things like climate resilience. We have amazing like wind projects and different our Schatz Energy Center, that type of thing. But a lot of excellence leveraging place. So obviously being on the water like we are in our marine biology things, as well as fire, and then science and applied science programming. And then also the connection with different tribes. And so really leaning on indigenous knowledge and collaborating with tribes around different programming. So the idea would be not to duplicate, but how can we be additive to what's needed for the state? And fire is a big one. Climate resiliency is a big one. And then being what we call comprehensive polytechnic, so making sure that liberal arts, creativity, writing skills, communication skills, all of that stuff is integrated into our
being
programming.
Able to share whatever it is you find out?
Absolutely.
And communicate clearly?
You betcha.
That is unique, isn't it?
It seems like of course, but it's amazing how sometimes that stuff gets sort of left behind or forgotten. And so that's foundational, I think, for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can do a 3-page paper instead of 40-page,
uh-huh.
Most do 40 pages because it looks more impressive instead of, here it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I learned from a previous mentor who's former military, sort of the bottom line up front type of thing. So what the heck are you trying to get forward? And then what are your couple of supporting points, and that's it. And so people hear that from me a lot. Like, I don't need the dissertation. I don't need the 40-pager.
Yeah, give me the 2-paragraph summary.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you can't do it, then let's work on that.
Exactly. And people don't read that far.
No. Even in 18-point.
Exactly. You got it.
Give me room for the Crayola.
Absolutely.
To fit in there.
You got it.
Those prongs, that mm-hmm. It's kind of what I was thinking. All equal in importance? Or do you, I mean, you said fire and I wrote.
Climate, yeah.
I wrote down forest management.
Uh-huh.
You know, salvage harvesting.
Uh-huh.
Hardening against, you know, fires. Things of that nature that are part of what our reality seems to be right now, and mm-hmm. I would suspect would be a huge area of interest,
mm-hmm.
regionally, mm-hmm. maybe even nationally. Okay, I could see it just, okay, that's the program we're going to set out in that, but now you've got the Coral Sea, you've got, mm-hmm. you know, Telonica, you've got a lot of the marine biology stuff.
Yep.
Okay, is that as high a priority? Can you have 5 or 6 primary mm-hmm. areas of emphasis without becoming so broad that you lose that focus?
No, it's a good question. So one thing that we've sought to do is do a phased plan over time. So over a 9-year period of time, sort of phase in different priorities. And so in the beginning, it is a little bit more about climate, about fire, and also engineering and technology programs, because there is a bit of a formula or a baseline of programs that you have to get the tag of Polytech. And so we needed to scale up in some of our engineering and technology programs.
Yeah, because those had really not gotten a lot of emphasis.
No, we have an amazing engineering program that's been around for years, but it's really just one program. And so really adding to that as well. And then thinking about technology programs, things like data science, cybersecurity, software engineering, that kind of stuff. But back to your point, so I think we can have some different areas of focus. We don't want to get out of the gate too quickly with too many things all at the same time.
They do everything mediocre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But how do we so we're doing a lot more in the engineering, the tech, the fire, and the climate stuff kind of. But the climate stuff is wrapped into the engineering a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of infused through everything, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then the other areas, agriculture and health programs. I mean, there's a big need for health, and nobody will debate that around here. And I think other things that come up are water, relating water, waste management, those types of things. So,
well, yeah, particularly like with what Arcata's done with the swamp,
mm-hmm.
you know, that something like that, it used to be seen as, you know, people would travel here to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, okay, you want to walk around it with the dog?
Mm-hmm.
It's positioned a little bit differently now than what it has been in the past. And it
yeah.
still seems to be working pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff that's out there.
You bet.
Now, is that kind of like the curriculum?
Yeah, so that's what that provosty job is all about, right? Is connecting with faculty and figuring out all these programs.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt State. Jen, as you look at now this new evolution that's starting to take hold at Humboldt, exciting, dynamic, fun, certainly having money thrown around like that's got to be invigorating.
Absolutely.
All the cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you leaving behind to get to the cool stuff? Is there anything that, you know, the core stuff that makes Humboldt and unique? You don't want to leave that behind. Maybe you freshen it up, but you don't want to leave it behind. So how do you work those two dynamics cohesively?
Yeah, great. I mean, great question. I don't think we seek to leave behind things that are working and things that the community and the campus value, but rather incorporate that into our vision into the future. So that's why I say a lot about liberal arts and humanities and how important it is to teach our students to be creative and communicate in those elements.
How about even just defining that, what that means to the community? I mean, you say liberal arts here.
Uh-huh.
And somebody thinks somebody's painting a mural in an alleyway.
Uh-huh.
That's a liberal art.
Yeah.
You know, rather than perhaps what the real definition is, it's not political.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. You think absolutely, that's a good point. But thinking about art and music and English and philosophy and teaching students and future graduates to be able to think about different perspectives and different viewpoints and to critically think about issues and be able to articulate their viewpoints. And all of those pieces are really important. And that's why we often say we're seeking to be a comprehensive polytechnic. And so it isn't only about those skills, but skills like engineering and technology, those are part of it. But it's also about that creativity and helping students to incorporate all of those things together. I'd say the other thing that I didn't mention before, when we were talking about SLO and Pomona, and then HSU and how HSU or Cal Poly Humboldt, hopefully, yeah. We'll just slide that in.
Is it going to matter? I mean, I think isn't it officially still Cal State Humboldt? Cal State University Humboldt. I mean, they tried that CSUH thing that died ugly.
Oh, well, we're Humboldt State University. I know the name has changed a few times. It would be California Polytechnic State University or California State Polytechnic University.
It's like the airport name, right?
I know.
No, it's ACV.
But
that's it, you know.
Exactly. Cal Poly Humboldt.
There you go.
Yeah. I know. So, but what's nice about that is that people will recognize what that means.
In a positive light?
In a positive way, absolutely. Yeah. Because people understand, or prospective students understand what a polytechnic is, and there's prestige associated with it. And already people are like, I want to go to Humboldt now. If you're going to be a polytechnic, I'm in. That's wild. Yeah.
Well, it'd be, you know, from the local perspective, it'd be nice to be known for something other than trees and marijuana. You know, I mean, and that certainly is a draw for a segment of the population that,
mm-hmm.
that makes up the student body.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, get up there and get high and spend, you know, just kind of cruise through. And no.
Uh-huh.
No, Polytech puts a whole different level of academic expectation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
And, you know, no, we're dealing with sheet metal now. We're not dealing with roots.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So the culture of the school
uh-huh.
certainly is going to change. the interaction with the community is certainly going to change.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to the folks at the other two campuses,
mm-hmm.
how is their interaction with the community?
I think that, you know, they have good partnerships with industry and have lots of internships for students, and I think that they have really solid connections. I would say we have some solid connections. I think that it's just not as known, and I think we're able to take this designation or this pending designation and sort of build on that. I think what's been really neat about this transition is inviting in the community to be a part of building the plan, and asking them what they want and what they need from our university, and then partnering together to make that happen.
It's easy to see the excitement.
You know, yeah.
Because it is so different.
Yeah.
I wonder, I don't know if it would even be worth spending any time on, what percentage of Humboldt County has been on the Humboldt State campus in the last 10 years, 20 years, 25 years? Take your pick. What a time certain.
Yeah.
And just get people back on the campus instead mm-hmm. of having that feeling like there's a wall, an invisible wall somewhere, or you can't park within 3 miles.
Uh-huh.
You know, just some of those different stereotypes that are there,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, free hot dogs on the soccer field this mm-hmm. weekend. Come on up.
Yeah, I'd say
something like that.
Bring the community to campus, but I'd also say bring the campus to the community. And how do we bring?
Well, now you're doing that with some of the branch campus concepts mm-hmm. or off-site learning centers or whatever they're called.
Absolutely. And how do we bring education? How do we bring events? How do we bring different opportunities for the community to engage with our campus? Not only just in, you know, Arcata, Eureka, McKinleyville, Trinidad, but beyond, further out. Because that's what I hear, and I've, you know, met with hundreds of different groups and constituencies, and they ask, like, can you figure out ways to bring education out to us? We're a big rural, you know, county, and access is hard.
Well, talking with some buddies in Fortuna, they don't, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see that they're included in the ripple in the pond of positive
mm-hmm.
associated with anything at Humboldt.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's
talk about
changing.
Opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that's changing.
Yeah.
Again, with this move toward Polytechnic. And I do, I think it offers opportunity to elevate some of these. There are these connections and these pathways that have existed for a long time, just people didn't know about them. And so how do you elevate and then sort of brand that message out that this is education that's going to be accessible and applicable to what the community needs.
And benefit everybody.
Absolutely.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with 3 airlines serving 5 destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps. Jen, what is the biggest secret at Humboldt State today, and then what's the biggest secret for tomorrow?
Oh, that's a good question. I should have thought about that before. I think it's the excellence of our faculty. There is amazing knowledge and research, I think, that is going to impact our community, our state, and our nation. Some of that gets out there with respect to some of the neat things that we're doing around energy, the incorporation of traditional ecological knowledge, fisheries. There's all kinds of neat things, and I think we hear about it in little bits and pieces, but I'm really excited to be able to get that message out more broadly with the transition to Cal Poly.
That opens up some doors that just aren't there now, or is it recognition or acceptance because it's coming from a polytech rather than just a state university?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we'll still be a state university, but I think...
Well, what I mean.
Yeah, but I think the recognition is huge. I think that people are paying attention more than they ever have before to us, I think, in part because of this transition, in part because of the investment from the state to support that transition as well. People are like, wow, what are you doing over there, and how did that happen?
Where's the money being spent?
Well, that's a great question.
Yours is a pound of money. That's all we hear.
$458 million. So $433 million is a one-time investment, and that's very much on infrastructure and technology. So to help support academic buildings, housing, technology to make sure that we have good internet for not only the campus,
really?
But for the region. Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Even so the TV doesn't cut out every other hour?
Exactly.
Wow.
Right. So that.
Now, is that part and parcel to the thing that's going on at the old Copeland Lumber site?
So the
I don't know what this is called.
The cable
anymore.
Landing. So
yeah.
So there's that connection. So we are connected with that project as well. So that cable landing that's coming through Eureka. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically the cable coming from the Samoa Peninsula to Eureka, and so that subsea cable landing, so underneath the ocean, and then connected a couple of weeks back, and so that's sort of part one, and then you need to make sure that the broadband comes through. I'm not a techie, but I know enough to know you need the cable, and then you need to have the internet come through. And so it's a couple-step process. But that's going to be a game changer. That's a game changer for the United States because it's a secure connection, which is really important. And then also the fact that it's going to allow us to have essentially better internet eventually. So housing and technology is a huge chunk of that money because housing is challenging around here. And then, to say the least, right? And then the $25 million and ongoing, so year after year, is really to stand up the academic program. So to be able to hire...
So that's like staffing?
Yeah,
primarily.
So to hire the faculty and staff, but then also to recruit and to market our programs.
I gotta love having a marketing budget like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have any bias in that area at all.
Right? Well,
it sounds like, and I know this is probably going to be something that a lot of folks get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We're joining this century. We're no longer, behind the Redwood Curtain might be a figurative, it might be a physical.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a cultural thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not where you go to hide.
Mm-hmm.
We're where you go to excel.
Absolutely.
To grow, to explode, to be something. Huge difference. Are you getting any blowback? I mean, we always have blowback on things. Are you getting any blowback about Humboldt being a polytech?
I think for the most part, it's been largely, it's been largely positive because I think that that's kind of what I mean by there are these just amazing pockets of excellence that are being missed by the larger community, by the larger state, and this is an opportunity to open it up. I think if anyone expresses any concern, it's wanting to make sure that we don't drop the value and the focus on our liberal arts, which we won't do, that we make sure that we continue.
This is augmenting, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's going to help liberal arts humanities to grow. I think also making sure that we're good partners with our communities, so our city and county communities, our tribal nations, making sure that we're collaborating lockstep and working together in a positive way.
I would think if the school has more better, that the existing then has more acceptance,
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if the student population is twice what it is, you're going to have and building and the industry associated with. You're going to have a lot more people looking at your paintings. Come on, guys.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to be able to maybe even sell some of these things and maybe have a career in it instead of dabbling on it.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace. Don't push back.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like I say, for the most part, everyone is really excited and recognizes that as we've come together as a university and with our community, that it's just going to bring great things for everybody.
Cool. Well, hopefully I haven't scared you, and we're going to see you soon.
Awesome.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Now that you know where we are, and, you know, you got the tour once, so you don't have to show up quite so early.
All right.
Thanks for coming by, Jen.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.